Let's listen to a couple of Ocracoke Islanders to give you a flavor of the unique dialect. First, here's an Islander talking about one particular island tradition, pony penning.
Well, we like I say, we started on that end and started running them back this way. And then they used to come up on, you know, so there weren't all this. This was swamp here we used to hunt. Yeah, all, every one of these houses. All these houses from where we turned at the fire station up this way has been built here since the 60s. There was only one house was in up here in the 60s.
Is that right?
All this subdivision, Jackson Dunes, Oyster Creek.
So this house
and then the ponies would come right, you know, you'd pin them up, they'd come right along the shore.
Yeah.
Right here. You know, we had beaches, you know, before everybody started building, you had a little beach all the way around on the sand side, just like you do on the ocean. But now you don't. Everybody's breakwatered and filled in, built. And then in June, they had a cattle penning.
And here's a clip of an Islander talking about an impending storm.
This storm came, the 44 storm.
Oh, yeah, the 44.
It come all of a sudden. We had a pretty day just like this. No wind, pretty sunshine. And the neighbor come over that day and said, there's a bad storm heading right straight for us. And we didn't believe it. There ain't no storm, you know, there ain't no storm come. Said, yes, it's heading right straight for Cape Hatteras. And it was a pretty calm day. And not that went that night, after it got dark good, went out with Harry, went out on the porch, and he, the stars was shining. He said, I don't think there's no storm. He said, it don't look like a storm. And everything was calm. But let me tell you, when we woke up the next morning, it was I thought the roof was going to come off the house. I never heard such a hard wind. It was 100 miles, blowing 100 miles.
Wow.
I never heard such a hard wind.
So that's a small sampling, and it seems to conjure up Shakespeare, doesn't it? But what did our systematic sociolinguistic investigations reveal? Is Ocracoke English really Elizabethan English? Well, yes and no. Dialects that have existed for generations or centuries in historic isolation do retain older features that can get lost in bigger dialects, especially in the midst of dialect mixing. For example, in Ocracoke, we have historic items like mommock, meaning something like harass or bother, and quamish, meaning nauseous or queasy. There are also historic grammatical constructions, for example, phrases like a huntin' and a fishin'. The little a prefix used to be common across English dialects and was used to mean that the activity was currently ongoing, actively taking place. Today, it's found mostly in isolated areas on islands like Ocracoke and in the Appalachian Mountains. But no language or dialect, no matter how far removed from mainstream language varieties, stands completely still. So side by side with older relic features like mommock, we also find newer words like dingbatter, which is Ocracoke for outsider or non-islander. And we find more recent grammatical innovations. For example, young islanders now use like every bit as much as young people throughout the U.S., including as an interjection, as in, I was like minding my own business, and as a quotative, a word introducing a quote, or an imagined quote, as in, I was like, I don't believe it. You sound just like Shakespeare. There are also some distinctive pronunciations in Ocracoke that sound kind of old-fashioned, kind of British. The I vowel is pronounced almost like oi, and islanders are known throughout North Carolina and beyond as hoi-toiters for high titers. And the ow vowel sounds unusual too, so that a word like down sounds almost like dine or dane. Again, these pronunciations are somewhat reminiscent of what Shakespeare would have used, but there's evidence that they're actually relatively new innovations, probably from the early 20th century or so. In a way, Ocracoke English is like American English in microcosm. Both have retained features of older English, but they've also both changed in their own directions, away from general American English, in the case of the island, and away from British English, in the case of the nation. So really, no dialect is an island, no matter how far removed from the British English homeland, or how removed from mainstream American English. Some remnants of Shakespearean English live on in America, maybe more so than in Great Britain. But the only real repository of Shakespeare's language is his own body of works and his own words. As Hamlet says, "Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue." In some ways, we Americans do this. In other ways, we just don't anymore.